Aaron Rodgers' streak of passes with an interception finally came to an end on Sunday at Lambeau Field, but the Packers' winning streak has been extended to 5 games in a row and an undefeated record to open the season. We'll break down a Green Bay victory over the St. Louis Rams. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Green Bay Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about a victory over the St. Louis Rams. I apologize, we were supposed to have linebacker Joe Thomas join us on the show today. I promoted it on social media and everything, and late last night I got a text saying, they have a meeting this morning right now as this show is live, kind of preventing Joe from joining us on the phone here for an interview. I apologize. I would have loved to have talked to him. And we're trying to actually get something happen, maybe have to record something and you know, air it down the road, maybe our next episode of Railbird Central. We'll see. But the most important thing is that the team's hard at work. Joe's hard at work. Getting, you know, a meeting in today before probably, I think, getting, you know, the afternoon off on a victory Monday, the day following a win at Lambeau Field. Without him, you're going to get my unfiltered thoughts and opinions on today's show about this Packers win to extend their winning streak to 5 games, a 5-0 record to open the 2015 season in the NFL. And that opens with our Packers news of the day. Now, no sound bites today, but to start off, mentioning, got to get out of the way here. Aaron Rodgers' streak of passes without an interception at home at Lambeau Field finally comes to an end. So the final statistics here: 586 pass attempts and 20 games go by without an interception by Aaron Rodgers, and this is a streak that began during the 2012 season. I think it was the month of December, so it was right at the end of 2012, but that's pretty remarkable that, you know, pretty much 3 seasons pass, or 2.5, or however you want to quantify it. But Aaron Rodgers finally gets an interception. What a streak it was. I mean, that to be able to watch him, first of all, I mean, we'll get to the bad part, the interception, in a second. But I mean, to be able to watch that over the past 2+ seasons, Aaron Rodgers' mastery at Lambeau Field, 2+ years without an INT, that's simply remarkable. You have to take a second to appreciate what you're witnessing out of Aaron Rodgers, you know, right now in the present, but what you've been witnessing for, you know, the past 2 years. I mean, basically his whole career, for more or less. I mean, he's, ever since he took over the starting job in Green Bay, he's been pretty darn good. But I mean, he's right at the peak of his game right now, and that just, that this, you know, before the interception happened, these were NFL record streaks that were extended earlier in the game. And it's take a moment to appreciate it, basically, is what I'm saying, because you're seeing very, very good football, perhaps the best in NFL history from the best quarterback and the best player. And it was something to behold, to witness, you know, those previous 20 games, including the playoffs at Lambeau Field, It was fun while it lasted. And so to kind of go over the interceptions here, it just didn't happen with one interception. It had two on the day from Aaron Rodgers, almost unheard of for him to be doing that. And I suppose it was perhaps appropriate that the first one happened on a tip pass, you know, something that was a little bit out of Aaron Rodgers' control. Now, you do have to give him a little bit of the blame because, I mean, that was something that was tipped at the line of scrimmage. It was something that came from a pass rush. It's something that he threw into a defender's arm. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers is not blameless on that, although it's not something where he got off a clean pass and made simply a bad throw into the hands of a defensive back or something like that. I believe, if I'm correct, it was Mark Barron the one who tipped it and James Laurinaitis the one who picked it off, the one that ended the streak, the first interception of the game. So kind of a little bit of bad luck there. The second one, though, was all on Aaron Rodgers, as far as I'm concerned. It was made on a nice play by cornerback LaMarcus Joyner on Rodgers, in which he pretty much read a play and got a good jump on it and picked Aaron Rodgers off along the right-hand sideline of the field. And, you know, that one really was one Aaron Rodgers would probably, I'm sure, like to have back. That was the uncharacteristic one, the one you don't see him make very often. And so on top of the two interceptions on Sunday, Aaron Rodgers has three turnovers in total and you know, coming away with a fumble as well. And that's a pretty rare occurrence as well. He's a guy that does well to take care of the football just when he's in the pocket. You know, he secures that thing. He knows, you know, when he has to bring it up next to his body, when he's feeling pressure, when he's going to run, how to tuck it away, things like that. So that too was not very characteristic of Aaron Rodgers. Although you could, again, like the tip pass, you can kind of almost rationalize it a little bit in that it appeared as if the St. Louis Rams probably should have been called offsides that play. I had read an interview with center Corey Linsley after the game, and pardon me, I forget the outlet that I read it in. Corey Linsley pretty much says he saw somebody, he saw the defender, you know, come across the line of scrimmage, which encouraged him to snap the football. And, basically he kind of wanted to deflect, you know, criticism away from Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari, who got beat around the edge and kind of was the man at fault for Aaron Rodgers fumbling, more or less, or so it would seem. But then you kind of take into account the snap comes earlier than it's expected. They kind of think they're offside, so maybe Bakhtiari isn't really ready to jump off the football, things like that. And Aaron Rodgers thinks he has a free play. So you can almost understand it a little bit why the fumble happened, as well as kind of the one of two of the interceptions. So, what was it, the worst game ever from Aaron Rodgers? No, there's been worse, but it wasn't a good one. It was definitely the worst probably of the season from Aaron Rodgers. And, in total here, as we get into other topics other than Aaron Rodgers here, you know, it was basically a day in which the defense had to carry the offense. And this is now the second consecutive week it's been like that, which, you really have to feel good about the Packers defense. I mean, they pretty much week to week have been improving every outing, and it started with a performance in the season opener in week one that was probably the worst of the year. They allowed the 189 rushing yards to the Chicago Bears and Matt Forte, and that was kind of the low light, although they do just enough to win that game. But since that point, it's only been trending upwards, and it really does seem to be, you know, that they're getting really, really better every game. They're raising the bar every subsequent game. I joked on social media that at this pace, by the end of the season, they'll be the 85 Chicago Bears defense, and I say that in jest. They're not going to be that good, but there's no doubt about it that they're improving every single week here. And just, I mean, the way they're going with so many young players, especially in the secondary, that it's, you know, that there's, it's hard to believe that this defense is going to, you know, be appreciably worse. With the more experience they get, they're only going to get better over time, you would think. And I suppose here we can basically, as we usually do, use the post game chips report at 24/7 Sports as kind of our roadmap for looking at this game yesterday. Who did well? Who did bad for the Green Bay Packers? And our blue chip performers, the cream of the crop, the guys who I thought maybe played the best in a Packers uniform yesterday. I give a blue chip to, and a lot of them in the secondary. I thought the secondary had an absolutely fantastic day, and no doubt about it, they were very much complemented by a fierce Packers pass rush. And maybe they just kind of go hand in hand here. I think it was the pass rush that really, you know, that, you know, maybe encouraged Nick Foles into some bad throws, forced him into some bad throws, and the secondary was kind of the beneficiary of that. But your blue chip performers, the first one, I thought the best player of the day, Micah Hyde, and yeah, he missed a tackle on a 55-yard gain by Todd Gurley that kind of sticks in your craw a little bit and be like, that kind of maybe doesn't warrant a blue chip performance. But I thought what did it for Micah Hyde is that the impact he had on the game, not just on defense, but on special teams as well. And he had several moments in the game that stuck out. Of course, the biggest moment for Micah Hyde was the interception in the first quarter, the first of the game for the Green Bay Packers, picking off Nick Foles. That was great. And that came just two series after. I think it was the very first series of the game. The Rams go, if I'm correct, 3-and-out. And it was on third down that Micah Hyde broke up a third down pass, kind of raking the arms of the defender. I believe it was intended for Rams tight end Jared Cook that forced a punt. So, I mean, right there in the first quarter, Micah Hyde is getting the job done in pass coverage while starting for Morgan Burnett, who misses his third consecutive game due to a calf injury. So the game just starts off fantastic for Micah Hyde. Later on, he makes a touchdown-saving tackle of Todd Gurley in the red zone. I believe that happens in the second quarter when he was basically the only defender between Gurley and the goal line, and Micah Hyde, you know, kind of comes up with the tackle there to save a touchdown that was really good. He made several tackles on the day after short completions that were, you know, kind of short of the sticks. Great game. And then, like I said, what I thought vaulted him into the blue chip category was the contribution on special teams as well. The very first punt return of the day was kind of one that hit the ground when the Rams punted. And, you know, he could have certainly have let it roll and just, you know, because he wasn't in position to catch it on the fly, and that wasn't his fault. It was just the really not a great punt, but it gets the roll, and he alertly picks it up, gets 9 yards, gets the Packers almost to midfield, and that set up the first offensive score of the day for the Green Bay Packers. And on top of that, he also made a nice tackle in kickoff coverage as well. So for him to be playing, you know, all day long, defense. I believe he played every snap on Sunday. Every defensive snap, didn't sub out once, and played a lot on special teams as too. Kudos to Micah Hyde, my blue chip performer, in spite of the one missed tackle there that gets overlooked because he did so much else to contribute to the Packers' victory the other day. And Sam Shields, my other blue chip performer, and what a turnaround for Sam Shields. And I just thought he was fantastic in coverage because he was the lockdown cornerback. He broke up three passes on Sunday, two of them to Brian Quick, one of them to Tavon Austin, and that was a deep shot down the field. You know, Tavon Austin, one of the fastest players in the NFL, and Sam Shields is too. He's probably the fastest player on the Packers roster. And for him to say stride for stride down the field with Austin and break up the pass kind of, and show some awareness and get that head around and get those arms up, was really great to do that. And the one of them, one of the pass breakups to Brian Quick was in the end zone, so Sam Shields prevents a touchdown there. And the other came in the fourth quarter of the game when the Rams were still trying to stick in it and get back in the game. I thought Sam Shields was a lockdown at cornerback on Sunday. And boy, if there were any completions made when he was in coverage, I don't know, maybe I missed it, maybe there was one, but he was just, for the most part, just did the job in pass coverage for the Packers on Sunday. Your red chips, and you could certainly, I can understand anybody making the case for these guys that they were blue chip worthy. Quinton Rollins and Clay Matthews, and just kind of sticking with the secondary here before we get to Matthews. Quinton Rollins coming up with two interceptions, his first two career interceptions on the day, picking off Nick Foles twice, and neither of them were cheapies like tip passes or anything like that. Quinton Rollins broke on these balls, and the first of which, the Packers' second interception of the game, Quinton Rollins takes it to the house. A pick six puts 6 points on the board for the Green Bay Packers and the extra point to follow. And then late in the game, basically, I think it was the game's penultimate play, as the Rams were knocking on the door. I believe they were at the 7 yard line, and there was only about 30 seconds left in the game. But I mean, it was a dangerous point as well, because I mean, hey, if they score that pass that Rollins picks off, all of a sudden they're, you know, an onside kick away from maybe, you know, getting back into it. I mean, that's arguable whether they could have or not, and probably not a very good chance. But any Packer fans know, if you're an onside kick away from winning the game, you're still in it, as they learned in the NFC Championship against the Seahawks last year. But Dmitri Goodson, and even more remarkable to do that in basically a part-time role. He was not out there he's not a starter. He's not out there every play. He's basically doing it, I don't know, in maybe a quarter of the snaps to have two interceptions. He's making the most of his opportunity and proving that he almost needs to be out on the field more often. It's getting to that point where he's almost got to be a starter out there. Quinton Rollins is doing that good. And, you know, credit to him for, again, an amazing performance, a breakout performance, making his presence known during the regular season. And then the other red chip, Clay Matthews, again, arguably could have been a blue chip player, just was one of many Packers players providing a pass rush, and just put the heat on Nick Foles several times. It seemed as if he was in his face all day long. I know he was officially credited with a team-high 4 quarterback hits, but it seemed like he pressured him even more often than that. Even if he didn't hit him, he was kind of, you know, forcing a quick throw or things like that, and actually gets to the quarterback for 1.5 sacks. One of them shared with Nick Perry early in the game, and it's a shame Nick Perry went down. We'll get to injuries later in the show here, but that, you know, series ends up forcing a punt. The second of Clay Matthews' sacks happened in the fourth quarter. I believe you could have made the argument that it would have been Wayne Larrabee's the dagger Clay Matthews' sack, which forces another turnover on downs. And so he led the charge. And it was a great performance from basically pretty much all the Packers linebackers were doing really good, from Julius Peppers, Nick Perry before he got injured, Mike Neal, all these guys contributing to a Packers pass rush, Jay Ronelli to a lesser extent. So those were your, you know, kind of standout performances from Sunday's game. Your cow chips, the poor performances. Number one, Dimitri Goodson. The Packers special teams in general were kind of a weak point in the Rams game, but Dimitri Goodson, kind of the goat in a play in which the Packers, you know, force a Rams punt at midfield, and the Rams going to run a fake punt. They're going to run a pass. And it actually looks as if the Packers have the thing well covered and everybody's in the right position to prevent this from going for a first down, except Goodson, who trips and falls, and the guy he has in coverage catches the football. It moves the sticks. Rams get a first down. They keep the chains moving. It was the kind of the most forgettable moment of the day, perhaps, for Dimitri Goodson. You know, you get so, if you're Dimitri Goodson, you get so few opportunities to be on the field. He's basically in a special teams role almost exclusively. And you know, when that happens, that's basically the only thing he's remembered for. It was a forgettable moment. But if you got another one, tight end Richard Rodgers kind of had probably a day he'd want back. There was a series there early in the fourth quarter in which he basically drops a pass which would have went for a first down, and just kind of a rare occurrence for a guy who's hailed as having some, maybe the best hands on the team. You've heard Aaron Rodgers kind of talk about how he's got a great pair of hands, and for him to drop the pass, and it was right near the red zone, right around the 20-yard line, maybe just inside it. That was disappointing, and then follows that up with later that series, the Packers attempt a field goal, and it's actually a 47-yard field goal converted by Mason Crosby, and then Richard Rodgers is you know, penalized for illegal hands to the face, wipes the points off the scoreboard. Packers actually, you know, they lose 10 yards, so it would have went from a 47 to a 57-yard field goal. They're like, probably not going to make this, so they punt it then. I mean, it just took points off the scoreboard, which was the worst part of it. Richard Rodgers did have, you know, he had a team-leading 6 receptions on the day, but they covered just, I believe, something like 45 yards, which 7.5 yards per reception. There was nothing special about that. And I don't expect Richard Rodgers to get a high, you know, average yards per catch or anything like that, but that was exceedingly low. And he had an up and a down day blocking. What I really like from Richard Rodgers is you're seeing that aggressiveness. But I remember one time he was singled out on the CBS broadcast for basically trying to take out James Laurinaitis' legs on a cut block and failing. He got a piece of him, and Laurinaitis wasn't even effective. And I think Rodgers probably dove a little bit too early for one. But on top of that, he didn't have to go for the cut block. He just simply could have just normally blocked him. And you know that he needs to play under control a little bit more in the run blocking game. There were a few nice moments where he did show some aggressiveness, but again, not enough to outweigh the negatives from this game. It's just one game. I'm not giving, with any post game experience, I'm not giving a cow chip out for the entire year. This is a one game analysis, and it was a bad one for Richard Rodgers, but hopefully he bounces back. If we're getting to some news and notes about the game, It was nice to see offensive lineman Brian Bulaga come back and make, you know, this first game back from the sprained MCL. He undergoes surgery, misses three games. It's his first appearance since the season opener and looks solid out there. Maybe it wasn't his greatest game. Maybe he's got a little bit of rust to knock off, so to speak. He actually has the false start penalty at one point. But, you know, by and large, simply for him to come out of the game unscathed. And, you know, for so long, I thought that the Packers would just simply ride it out through the bye week with Brian Bulaga, just give him that extra time to recover. He comes back two games before the bye and looks good out there. So that's definitely good news out there. But it's a little bit disappointing that the Packers offense had to rely on this Packers defense we talked so much about earlier in the show. I thought both, you know, a lot of the skill position, you know, Aaron Rodgers, a so-so game, probably more negative than positive. Although Aaron Rodgers was your leading rusher for the day, and he does contribute to the team in that capacity. But the other skill positions, the receivers, the running backs, just ineffective. Eddie Lacy just doesn't look 100%, and you almost wonder if they should, you know, shut him down through the bye week and get him healthy for the stretch run of the season. That ankle injury still kind of impacting him, and James Starks really didn't do anything to take any pressure off, and maybe it's because they're sharing carries that you kind of think maybe neither of them are getting into a groove, but James Starks kind of only caught 3 of 6 targeted passes, has some drops that arguably he could have caught. I know some of them were tough, would have been very tough catches to begin with, but regardless, James Starks not helping out the Packers cause yesterday. Randall Cobb being almost absent, you could have almost argued that he deserved a cow chip. There were a couple times where he didn't, you know, appear to be on the same page as Aaron Rodgers. I know Aaron Rodgers was looking for a kind of a back shoulder throw, and Cobb was going down the field. You know, he's not 100%, but, you know, he was effective in these past few weeks, and he was not on Sunday against the Rams. So you know, the Packers, you know, defense had to bail him out, and I asked on Twitter, you know, are you worried or what's your concern level with this Packers offense basically for a second game in a row kind of being flat? You know, that there've been moments where the Packers offense has been okay. But, you know, here's some of the responses I got on Twitter. TTSO Chris on Twitter says, not at all. The Packers are managing wins when the offense is flat. That's the most important thing. With it, when a healthier offense, they'll be fine. Samuel Shear on Twitter says, I'm not too concerned considering Lacy, Nelson, and Adams have been out, and occasionally Rodgers shows he's human. Packer Faithful on Twitter says, not concerned at all. I'd rather struggle now against mediocre teams than in January versus good teams. Earthquake320 says, better now than going into the playoffs. Too much talent and time left in the season not to get it figured out. Adam Gower on Twitter says, Lacy did not look fit, clearly lacking a Jordy deep threat. 88 will get there in time. Possession short to mid routes, need creativity. That's just a sampling of answers that people have given me on Twitter. I'm sorry I didn't get to them all. I know there's a few more that people sent, but thanks for writing in if you did. I'm not hugely concerned. There's been a lot made of the deep threat missing in this Packers offense, you know, with Jordy Nelson out, something that's been, you know, the Packers haven't had. None of these wide receivers are really the deep threats. I mean, maybe Jeff Janis is, but he's just not the caliber of player that, you know, is going to be a, well, and maybe he is in due time. I don't know, but the Packers certainly still don't trust him enough yet to get him out on the field, and maybe Jared Aberderis could fit that role at some point too, but he's not ready yet, and, you know, he's kind of coming off the injury still. We'll see whether the Packers incorporate that sometime or another, but you know, they have been good early in the season. There were games, first, second, third game of the year, where the Packers offense has been pretty lethal at times. And you know, to kind of be flat here for a game or two, you know, they're doing enough to win right now. And I do think once they get healthier, once they get Davante Adams back, that'll be a big, big help. So kind of to wrap up the show here in the last segment of the show, the day ahead in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday, I think what you're waiting for today is the injury fallout. And it's unfortunate the Packers are becoming a very, very injury-prone team of late. And perhaps the silver lining is that maybe none of these injuries were season-ending that occurred on Sunday. And I'm basically talking to four players here, and I suppose I should point them out. Defensive lineman B.J. Raji, offensive lineman T.J. Lang, cornerback Casey Hayward, and linebacker Nick Perry, all kind of exiting the game at some point. Maybe different extents to injuries. We're not really sure. There wasn't a whole lot said on these guys, you know, in the aftermath of the game. And you know, understandably, like, they don't really know the extent yet until, you know, they see until, you know, the next day, and swelling goes down and things like that, and the adrenaline wears off where they're at. You know, the good thing is you didn't get that, you know, immediate season-ending injury that you just know is season-ending. So maybe you hold out hope for these guys, and maybe a couple of them, you know, they miss the one game next week, and then you get the bye and they have some time to come back. But looking for an update on what happened to them, just because we have basically haven't had any on either of these four guys who got injured in Sunday's game. So head coach Mike McCarthy, I believe his press conference is scheduled for sometime after 4 p.m. Central Time. And as usual, that'll be streamed live at Packers.com. So if you're looking for an update on these guys, head to the team's official website later Monday afternoon. You should be able to get something there when Mike McCarthy speaks to the media. And I don't know, sometimes, you know, Mike McCarthy, he doesn't have the whole story. So I don't know how much of an update. Maybe he'll have an update on some, but not others. We'll find out. Some way or another, we'll find out more Monday afternoon. But we'll see what happens to these guys. And what's even more disappointing, I guess, is that it kind of, you know, the Packers, these injuries are kind of building. Because it's not just the four that happened Sunday. You know, it's the guys who continue to be out. Davante Adams and his ankle injury. Morgan Burnett and his calf injury. Sean Richardson, who now, that happened on Friday. Haven't even had a chance to talk about that yet. It appears as if Sean Richardson already, who had spinal fusion surgery earlier in his career, now his career could be over with the Green Bay Packers after suffering reportedly another herniated disc in his neck. Just our thoughts go out to Sean Richardson. It's such a tough sport to play, and it looks as if his career is over. The Packers probably, at least with him, going to make a roster move at some point here, place him on injured reserve. They'll be able to promote somebody from the practice squad or sign somebody from the street. I don't know what the Packers are going to do. They certainly could promote Bruce Gaston from the practice squad. He was already up on the 53-man roster earlier this year, but you can kind of look at, well, the Packers already have depth on the defensive line. Maybe they don't need him. I don't know what the Packers are going to do at this point with that roster spot. We'll find out. Again, that's what this the day ahead is all about. Things we're going to find out later today. So looking forward to that, and that's what you can kind of expect here later Monday afternoon and evening. So enjoy it, folks. Enjoy the win. Enjoy your victory Monday. That'll do it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in and basically listening to me for the better part of a half hour here without any break and no guest to talk to. Hopefully we'll get an interview with Joe Thomas sometime.
But again, we'll be back again on Wednesday. Our usual Wednesday guest, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, joins us on the show. And we'll see you then, folks. My call to action, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This podcast is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. Do us a solid. Give us a rating and a review. We'd be really appreciative. But that'll do it, folks. We'll see you later. Have a good Monday, and we'll see you again on Wednesday. I leave you today with a song called Mental Floss by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack Go!